This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Joining us now, I have him on my show on Saturdays all the time. He's very popular on all these shows around here because he knows his stuff. From Locked On Ravens, USA Today, it's Kevin Ostreicher. Kevin, you weren't expecting to talk to me today, were you?
You know what? It was a pleasant surprise getting on the phone and hearing you were going to be talking to you and Vinny today. So glad to be here, and glad the Ravens are making some moves.
Well, the first one was an obvious one. I was filling in for Bob a couple weeks ago during a combine when Eric DaCosta did his press and just spent most of it praising him and Ronnie Stanley and how we really want him and all. This was a surprise to nobody.
No, I think this was something that the Ravens had to get done, if we're being honest. And I think that for Baltimore, there wasn't a better option than Ronnie Stanley on the market. And you look at some of these offensive line contracts that these other players are getting, and you look at Ronnie Stanley, 3 years, $60 million, 44 of that guaranteed. And Baltimore clearly got a discount on Ronnie. He made that clear during his availability yesterday. He's a guy that I think will be an anchor for them for the next couple of seasons. Now, the big thing for him is staying healthy. He chopped that last year off of his deal last season, bet on himself, and it paid off. He won that bet because he was able to stay healthy. He was able to have a really, really good season. But he's a veteran in that room now with a lot of young guys like Tyler Linderbaum and Andrew Voorhees, Roger Rosengarten, Daniel Falele, et cetera. So for Baltimore, I don't know what the move would have been if it wasn't Ronnie Stanley. And, $20 million per season might seem like a decent amount, but, these offensive linemen, these premium positions, that market continues to go up. And the fact that Ronnie gave the Ravens a discount when you clearly heard, teams like the Chiefs and the Patriots and, all these different teams are willing to offer Ronnie $23 million per year, $24, $25. It's a good move for Baltimore. Ronnie still gets a payday, and it's really cool to hear that he wanted to stay in Baltimore because of the players, his teammates, and the fact that Baltimore's been loyal to him all this time.
Plus, he really knows nothing else. And the other thing, Kevin, that I like, about Ronnie being back is this is year two now that he's not rehabbing in the off season. So, and we saw what type of, play we got last year when he was just able to lift and train and stuff. And he even talked about it in his press conference about, getting stronger and stuff. And if he can continue to lift and stay healthy and practice every day, he's going to have another solid season, And then the other guy that they got back too was running it back with Ricard, getting basically another pulling guard.
Right. We talked about that a couple weeks ago and even last week too, where I think for Baltimore, that was another no-brainer signing. I know there were some rumblings about, would Kyle Juszczyk be an option for them? He goes back to San Francisco, fetch a red card, goes back to Baltimore. All is right in the world. And I think that for the Ravens and what they want to do here, we know that they're a more balanced group than they were a couple years ago with the offense to Greg Roman versus Todd Monken and the system and the schemes. But Ricard has been so valuable to them over the years, and he's a versatile piece. You mentioned his pulling ability and him acting like an extra offensive lineman out there, which is huge. It's a huge part of what the Ravens want to do. So Baltimore right now, the two obvious moves were that he and Stanley were going to stay. I think people kind of assumed that McCary and Stevens were going to go, which is what ended up happening. And, you know, the offseason right now going kind of according to plan at this point.
Well, according to plan is a good way to state that, but everybody was surprised about Cooper Rush. You got to admit.
Yeah, I think that him and Ben Cleveland, two guys over the weekend that I think people were like, whoa, okay. Well, I think for Cooper Rush, there's a big debate about the backup quarterback spot and how much money you want to spend there. First of all, $3.1 million per season in the grand scheme of things. It's not like they're paying him $7 million or $10 million per year to be the backup. I get it's not a veteran or minimum contract or a undrafted rookie contract, but Cooper Rush is, I think, one of the better backups in the league. Now, scheme-wise, you know, I think that there might have been some better fits than Cooper Rush out there. He's not nearly as mobile as Lamar Jackson, and, you know, if they want to add that element into the offense with their backup, if Lamar goes down, you know, Cooper Rush is probably not that guy. But best case scenario is Cooper Rush never sees the field unless the Ravens are up by 35 points in the fourth quarter, and you're able to get him in for some late garbage time action. But I know that people with the backup quarterback position are saying, well, if Lamar goes down, the season's over anyway, which, yes, if Lamar has to miss the season, then Baltimore's probably not winning the Super Bowl. I think we can all agree on that. But if Lamar goes down in October and has to miss 8 games, comes back mid-December, and the Ravens, you know, they have a good record when Lamar goes down. If their backup can't keep that team afloat, if an undrafted guy on a veteran minimum contract or whatever the deal is, they go 1-7 or 2-6 or 0-8 or whatever that is, when Lamar gets back, the season is going to be over because they're not going to be able to stay afloat. But if Cooper Rush comes in and he can go 4-4, 5-3, 6-2, that keeps them afloat for Lamar Jackson to come back. And whether it's fight for seeding, go for the division, go for the one seed, those are all things that are valuable. So again, hopefully Cooper Rush never sees the field and Lamar is able to stay healthy the whole season. But if he does have to miss some time but is able to come back, Cooper Rush's job is going to be keep the team afloat, and there's a lot of talent on the roster to be able to do so.
Kevin, I understand the Ben Cleveland one. I mean, you know, a lot of linemen got signed and he didn't, and, you know, he had the DUI and he got divorced and all kinds of things. But he played some center, played some guard. I mean, do I think he's a good player? No, I'm not a big fan. But they got 4 years invested in him, and they have no depth right now. So right player, right price. He was cheap, and he can, you know, fill in at a couple spots for him, and he knows the guys in the locker room, you know, because you can only bring in so many rookies, and you've got a quality, good offensive line now. And, you know, and let's just say they draft a guard tackle at 27, you know, then it creates even more depth too, because then Voorhees becomes, you know, a backup also. And I also like the signing of Tylan Wallace. I think
I was about to ask that.
That was a solid move there because he's good on teams. And you know what? Todd Monken and Lamar, I think, are very confident and comfortable. If he's got to go in,
he can catch a pass here and there.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you think, Kevin?
Both those guys, yeah, I agree completely. And for Ben Cleveland, he could be your new Patrick McCary in terms of the versatility.
Playing no tackle. Vinny's not a
Cleveland fan.
Not at the tackle spot, but I think just the versatility that they have with him. It's not McCary, but you're right. It's like, who was going to give him a fresh start at that point when you have him not really playing a ton of snaps, the offseason troubles? It kind of feels like, okay, was it just Baltimore or bust here? That's what it continues to look like. And then, yeah, Tylan Wallace is a guy that you have DeAndre Hopkins in now, but I think Wallace does deserve more opportunities. He's stepped up in the clutch whenever he's been called upon and is a number four wide receiver behind Hopkins, Bateman, and Flowers. I mean, I think that's a really good player to have. So he's a guy that's not necessarily going to go out there and play all of your snaps, but in spot roles in certain situations, I think you could do a lot worse than Tylan Wallace as your number four guy there.
Yeah, great teams need a guy like that on a roster, at least one, to say the least. Kevin, tell me about your podcast and everything you got going on Locked In on Ravens.
Yeah, Locked On Ravens, we're 5 days a week plus more. Sometimes we have some bonus episodes on the weekend. We go live after every single piece of big news, and during the season we go live after games too. So we're 5 days a week, every single weekday, and just grinding through free agency. Of course, we're going to have to turn the page to the draft pretty soon. We're going to be doing some pre-draft stuff over there as well. So I know that, you know, the season's been over for a couple months for the Ravens, but the NFL is year-round.
Yes, sir.
So are the Ravens.
All right, Kevin, we'll talk again real soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes. It's kind of a busy day in sports right now. There's a lot of things going on. We're going to hit that next on the Whip Around as a Vinny and Haney show.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that, no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like strawberry lemonade and extra strength fan fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Show continues.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
All right, the Whip Around, we're going to start it locally. In fact, very locally. About 3 feet from me sits Vinny Serrato. And Vinny, it could be a big day at the Serrato house. Your son, Charlie, tell me what can happen today.
They're voting on Big Ten Hockey Awards today. There is the Offensive Player of the Year, which Penn State has a player up for. Aiden Fink, who's up for the Hobey Baker, too. He leads the country in scoring. And Defensive Player of the Year, too. And we have one of our captains is a defenseman, senior. He's up for it. And then Charlie's up for Freshman of the Year.
He should get that.
He should. He's leading. He's top freshman scorer in the Big Ten. He's third nationally scoring. He's got a plus 13. He's 57% on his faceoff. So he's got better stats than anybody else.
How does the hockey draft work? I know baseball, you can be drafted out of high school and then after your sophomore year of college and then after your junior. How does it work in hockey?
3 years.
You got to do 3 years.
No. 18, 19, and 20.
Oh, 3 years in a row.
Yep.
Okay, so he could get drafted this year. Yes. Probably will, right?
Yeah, probably will. The way it's going, yeah. And then also, Guy Gadowski's up for Coach of the Year. So we have, there's five awards, and we have five people up for it. So
I watched him a couple times because I wanted to see Charlie play. I've heard you talk about him so much and all those long road trips you made when he was in junior hockey and all of that. But Penn State's got a pretty good thing going up there.
Yeah, we lost Saturday night in overtime.
I mean, the crowds are big and enthusiasm.
If you haven't seen a hockey game at Penn State, you need to go because they're spectacular.
Rashawn can tell you, right?
Rashawn went.
I know he did.
Texted me Saturday night, you know, because he was watching the game and we lost in overtime. And now the NCAA, the selection Sunday is next Sunday for hockey. Right now we're 86% chance of being in. So, and then we would play in Allentown a week from Friday, either 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock, depending on what seed we were.
Nice place for Penn State to play.
Oh, no doubt.
Hey, the other thing I wanted to mention to you, you mentioned it to me actually, Deion Sanders has a kind of a radical idea for college spring games. Take it from here.
Yeah, Deion, what he proposed was, and I kind of like it, you know, kind of like the NFL does, you know, when you're playing a preseason game, the other team comes in, you practice for a couple of days, and then you play. And that's what he proposed, you know, to whoever he needs to propose it to, NCAA or whoever it is, that, you know, and Syracuse said that they would come out.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. Yeah.
And practice with them for a couple of days prior to the spring game, and then scrimmage them in the spring game. Which I think it would be, I think it'd be kind of cool. You'd get a lot better work.
Yeah, and you'd be more of a reason to go see it. Actually, you know, for your fans and all that, but. Under current NCAA bylaws, football teams cannot play against each other, another school in the spring. I would imagine that could be changed, though.
Oh, I would
nobody listens to NCAA anymore, right?
Everything's changed in college football anyhow. So, you know, you get quality work. You get a lot better work. Plus, you're going against somebody else. You know, and just like in the pros, you can practice it, you know, where it's pretty safe. You do a lot of individual type drills and, you know, good on good. You get a lot of good on good. And to me, it's really a pretty smart idea by Deion.
Now, you and I are roughly the same age. We have seen the sweet side of 60. That's for sure. We are old school in many ways. Steph Curry last night had 7 turnovers, and he missed 10 three-point attempts. And his coach, Steve Kerr, says he's going to sit him down. He's going to rest him. You hear a lot about that in the NBA, and it's spreading, I guess, to other sports. As an old-school guy, though, how does that hit you?
Well, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, like Alex Ovechkin doesn't miss any time, and they have back-to-backs, and they play just as many games as the NBA. You know, you don't see hockey guys missing.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, it's kind of ridiculous, you know, and I mean, like, can you imagine, like, now, like, Ovi said, I'm tired, I'm sitting out a game, you know, I need to rest. You know, I mean, fans are buying tickets to watch him play, just like Steph Curry.
Right.
They're paying supreme prices to watch them play, you know, and they're not playing. I mean, come on. I mean, and saying he's tired.
I agree.
The NHL playoffs last longer than, and they're not sitting out. You know, I mean, It's a bad, and the NBA is the only one doing it.
I know. I agree. It's a bad look.
Nolan, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not up in arms about it like some people are. I think it's just kind of, it is what it is now. Like, we fully transitioned to it where it's normal, and I don't think going back to the way it used to be is really realistic for basketball. I mean, the worry, like Bruce said, is this spreading to other sports, but I mean, football, I don't see it.
No.
They're just too short of a schedule, too high stakes every week. Baseball, maybe.
Maybe with a
162? They get a day off every now and then.
Yeah. It's because they play every day. You can build day offs in easy, right. In baseball, which
but
makes
like
it.
But like Michael Jordan never rested.
Not really. No.
Well, all the stars from that era.
Right.
Yeah.
LeBron, no, it's weird.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to mention for
you. They're making a ton more money and they're playing less.
Pretty good gig if you can get it, right? The Dodgers in Japan this morning. Major League season was open. They beat the Cubs 4-1. And the only reason I mentioned that, well, it's news. The other thing was, Vinny, they were getting ready to get off the plane in Tokyo. And Ohtani got up on the Dodger plane and he says, "Now look, I want to prepare you guys. You're going to see some pictures of me." They said literally everywhere you went in Tokyo was a picture of Ohtani, but he did get up and warn him, which I thought was nice of him.
Yeah.
Coming up, Vinny used to do this stuff for a living. And so that's why we're lucky to have him around here at 105.7 The Fan. His draft profile, that's coming up next on the Vinny and Haney Show.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney, Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
And this offensive line knows what to do. Howard, now they get to him. Abdul Carter.
Abdul Carter, Vinny.
Yeah, he's, I watch a lot of Penn State games because my kids are there and stuff. But when you study film and, you're just isolating on the one guy, Abdul Carter is as good as it gets. I mean, Abdul is 6'3", 250, a junior, jersey number 11. And the thing about it is at Penn State, jersey number 11 is like the elite defensive player. Like LeVar Arrington was number 11. Micah Parsons was 11. Abdul Carter. And you know who's wearing 11 after this? LeVar's son, who's coming in there. So no, if you're number 11, a lot of expectations there. All right, Abdul Carter, 2022. He was a freshman All-American, played in all 13 games, had 6 starts, 56 tackles, 10.5 tackles for loss, 4 PBUs, 6.5 sacks. 2023, first team All-Big Ten, started 13 games, 48 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, an interception, 5 PBUs, 1 forced fumble. And in 2024, he was all everything. He won every award. Started 16 games, had 68 tackles, 4 PBUs, 2 forced fumbles, 23.5 tackles for loss, 12 sacks. And he switched from off-ball linebacker to defensive end. And that's his pro spot. I mean, he was good as an off-ball linebacker, inside backer. He was good there, too. But he's special. He is special as a pass rusher. Strengths, excellent speed and burst. Now, he did nothing at the combine. Their pro day is the 28th. It's a week from Friday. Like I said, excellent speed and burst. Good quick feet and change of direction. Has explosive hitting ability. He can find the football as an inside linebacker. He was inside linebacker for 2 years. Great burst and recognition. He doesn't stay blocked. Excellent lateral quicks. Plays strong. He can get small blitzing. What do you mean by that? You can kind of slither through. He can drop into coverage. He's got fluid hips. Great first step. Awesome first step he's got. He can bend the corner. He'll chase from backside. He's got quick hands. Has punch versus offensive tackles. He keeps working and pass. Strong lower. Very flexible. Quick inside and outside moves. Has catch-up speed. Has his violence as a tackler. Weakness. He'll need to learn more pass rush moves. Adequate size. Play strength versus big offensive tackles in the run game. In summary, He has all the skill to be an elite rusher and is only going to get better. Double-digit sack guy all the time. And I think if Cleveland takes him opposite Garrett, that would be scary because, you know, you're doubling Garrett and you got to single this dude. With his explosiveness and his quickness off the snap, he's dangerous. He is dangerous because he is so explosive off the ball. I mean, he is a fun guy to watch on film, and he is an awesome, awesome football player.
So we got a little over a month left before the draft. A lot of movement will happen before then, maybe even some trades. But, I mean, this is a guy who's not just considered the best defensive player, maybe the best player overall in this year's draft. You got some quarterback needy teams at the top that could go that direction, but realistically, I mean, what's the latest this guy could fall? I mean, does he even make it past four?
Oh, well, you got, all right, let's say two quarterbacks go one and two. Then you got Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you're passing on Abdul Carter, I think you're kind of crazy, you know, I mean, because he influences games. He changes games. That's how good he is. I mean, you know, I'm sure Tennessee, they need a quarterback. But like I said, with Cleveland. And then who's three, Nolan?
Giants.
I mean, they could use him. I mean, they need a quarterback, too. They could use him. I mean, at four is New England.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would take him in a heartbeat. But he is a phenomenal football. I mean, Micah Parsons getting ready to be the highest paid. This dude's as good as or the same as or whatever you want to say about Micah Parsons, you can say about Abdul Carter. And, you know, I mean, the Ravens took Oweh, you know, in the first round. And he had no sacks. This dude gets off the bus getting sacks. You know, I mean, that's the difference, you know, in this kid.
I love those get off the bus sacks. They're the best.
This kid, 12 sacks. I mean, you know, and he played in the playoffs. And what was he playing on? With one shoulder.
Right. Well,
and he was dominating.
That's the other thing. Yeah, I mean, the injury red flags don't seem to be red flags. It was there briefly at the combine, but not anymore. And I guess something to watch on Friday when he's out there.
Yeah,
there's any signs.
Yeah, the 28th. I would expect him to run into 4.4s. I'd expect him to blow away, you know, all the stuff. And I don't know how much stuff he's going to do. And he nowadays, he probably, you know, he'll run a 40, I would think. But the other stuff, I don't need to do it. You know, and there's not a lot that they can say. Back in the old days, Nolan, you know, the old scouts. Oh, man, because you'd go to the workouts and the old scouts would be there and they would make you go get the heights and weights and do all that stuff first because they had to get that information. They were responsible for getting that information. And then once they got that, then you do whatever you want. But now, kids nowadays, they don't. They just want to do the workout. They ain't doing any of the other stuff.
And we get all that information. Kids in their bedroom get all that information. They can go on the internet, look up, oh, what's this guy running? What's this guy height, weight, all that? It's a whole new world.
Did any of us know the impact the internet was going to have? That it was going to completely take over everything and close down malls and affect scouting? I mean, did any of us see this coming? I didn't.
No.
Well, that doesn't apply to you, Nolan. You're too young.
Well, the nice thing about it is, you know, like when I would be doing, you know, like 10 years ago, Nolan, when I'd be doing my draft stuff, Howie Roseman had let me, I'd take a couple days, you know, and Howie'd let me come up and watch film at their facility. And he'd give me a room and I'd sit there, you know, I'd get there like 7 o'clock in the morning and I'd watch film all day, you know, you know, they got the all 22s. They got all the tape, and I can just grind through it, you know, for a couple of days. You know, and now you go on the internet, you know, you can watch full game. You know, like I watch Penn State's full games. You watch Ohio State's full games and everything. You know, the internet's got everything.
At all times. And it changed everything. It closed down malls. Vinny, there's one other thing. Is that it? You got anything else? The scouting?
Well, Abdul Carter.
Let's go.
That's one that, you know, when you watch him on film, this is one that a non-football fan could pick out number 11. You know, I mean, that's how much that he stands out when he plays. So, you know, when you're watching, you're like, who'd you watch? Oh, number 11. He's He shows up a lot. Yeah, that's the kind of guy that, you know, that's why he's going where he's going to go.
So, I mean, like staggering odds, you think, for defensive rookie of the year? I mean, is there anyone else in this class that really
Travis
strikes
Hunter.
You? Yeah, you know, he's up there. But
him and Hunter, and yeah, I would think, you know, and then there's always going to be somebody else that kind of, you know, becomes
a grinder. Yeah,
I like Travis Hunter a lot. He's got NFL written all over him. He really does, to me.
Oh, Travis Hunter's a stud, too, you know. And, you know, I mean, they both play premium positions, you know, Travis Hunter. And that's why they're going in the top three or four picks, is because they're special. They're elite. They do things that others can't. You know, I mean, Abdul Carter is so much better than any rusher in this draft. It's not even close, in my opinion.
And there's a premium on those guys. Before we move further, I don't know if you guys talked about this yesterday, Vinny, but there was a lot of talk about Mark Andrews. He got his $4 million roster bonus yesterday.
Oh, good for him.
Well, there's something to be said for that, so it looks like he's not going anywhere.
He never was. And all the people, Nolan, we listened because, like, me, you, and Haney were the only people that when we heard Eric talk and Harv's talk, we were like, he's definitely coming back. And everybody else, every other show, it's like, he's gone. He's gone. Like, because we were talking about it the next day. I said,
you can understand that reaction. It was kind of lukewarm, though. It was.
No, I thought it was like he was going nowhere.
But the rumors haven't gone anywhere either. I mean, I just saw as recently as this weekend, more people speculating about where he could be going and all that.
He's
Well,
all you got to do is look at, you know, what they say when they say, we're running it back. They're not all of a sudden, you know, you got Ricard back, you got Stanley back, you know, you're getting all these guys back, okay? And then all of a sudden you're going to get rid of Andrews?
Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't.
So, like, the people that thought that, oh, he's gone, he was never going, ever. He was never going, you know? And I think Eric was just trying to be nice and telling him how important he is to the team, and everybody took it as, see ya.
I think it was not full-throated. It was not like the 100%. Blah, blah, it wasn't like that. You
hey,
know?
Nolan, you got the cut from the combine?
I can dig it up. Give me a minute here.
Yeah,
I'm
ahead.
Just saying
now. But, I mean, Nolan, you said the same thing that I said, you know, that he ain't going anywhere.
See, we would have argued about that day. We would have. And we don't argue about very much, but I took that entirely different. It was less than full-throated, you know? I don't know.
Worst-case scenario was a nothing answer.
Yeah.
And that was almost where I was kind of leaning. I didn't take it as a resounding, he's definitely back. Certainly didn't take it as a
goodbye. I can go along with that, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I just thought it was in line with a lot of his other answers. Well, you know, we'll look at it, we'll explore all possibilities. The typical Eric answer, you know, it's kind of a cover-all.
But the $4 million roster bonus has been paid. He's got it in his pocket, right. And it looks like he's going to stay.
And the only reason that, you know, it was even a thought by people probably was because he fumbled and, you know, and he dropped that ball. If he had caught those balls or, you know, it was somebody else that did that, you know, there would have been no discussion about Mark Andrews. And I still can't believe all the people and a lot of writers and stuff.
A lot of them.
You know, thought that he was gone. And I was like, no, why? You know, it makes no sense.
I think people are thinking a year ahead, the likely stuff, because this year's this year. We agree that they want the full tight end room back. But beyond 2025, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
It's got to be Likely's time at that point.
Well, two of them are going to be gone after this year. It's going to have because contracts are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, like everybody said, well, trade him. All right, what are you going to – you get a third-round pick? What the hell am I going to do with a third round pick? I'd rather have Mark Andrews than a third.
Me too.
You know, a third round pick. Yeah. You know, let's say a third round pick a year from now. Give me a break. You know, that guy's not going to catch 55 balls for 700 yards and what, 11 touchdowns? No.
No, not even close. All right, coming up with me filling in for Haney, I'm sure the funhouse is going to be fun. I got a lot of people who love to follow me, so this should be interesting. The funhouse is next. Stick around.
sponsored by the Smile Design Center, changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
Let's start here with the Ravens. Some thoughts on the Ben Cleveland return. Texter here says the return of Ben Cleveland was stunning on two levels. I think they were justified to move on based on performance alone. Then the arrest in February made me think that he would not just be the Ravens moving on, but no other team would want any parts of him either. Maybe a wake-up call for him, but I'm not expecting anything.
Yeah, I'm expecting a, you know, good backup is what I'm expecting. You know what's funny was, what did he say, like, when he got arrested? Was he only had three beers and he was, like, at a .17 or something? And the dude that weighs 360 probably had to have, like, a case of beer.
You'd think so.
Right. This one here on Cooper Rush says, the Ravens are toast if Lamar goes down long term. Backup doesn't really matter at that point, but we have seen a few times in Lamar's career where he misses a single game here and there, whether it's illness, nagging injury. I feel like you can win a game with Rush if you're in a pinch.
I agree with that. You know, I mean, but you look at any of Josh Allen, you look at Mahomes. You look
I was about
at any
to say the same
guys,
thing. Yep.
You know, I mean, if they're down for the rest of the season, team's done.
Well, not only that, but you were saying a while back, Vinny, what a good team DaCosta knows he has. So maybe if Lamar were to go down, maybe the season isn't over. And maybe you kind of ensure that you're at least going to stay somewhat competitive by bringing in a backup of that level. Am I crazy?
Yeah, that's what they're hoping, that they can withstand.
How about this one here on Tylan Wallace? Texter says, Wallace had some of the most thrilling plays of the past few years, but I feel like he's definitely being paid for special teams ability. With that in mind, does him being removed from punt return duties last year concern you at all about his role?
No, because, you know, I mean, he won that Cincinnati game for him.
Yep.
You know, so, and he can do that role. You know, I mean, he's done it. He won a game for him returning a punt. So he's done that. The thing that he kind of got in the doghouse for was he was letting the punts bounce. You cannot let them bounce because that ball rolls, man, and you lose field position and you lose a ton of yards. And I think that's what Harb's got pissed. And then what happens is you're back there, you know, and then you start thinking. And then when you start thinking, what happens? You know, then you're afraid to catch it. You lose some confidence. But I think he's a great fifth receiver, and he's coverage and all that stuff. Yeah, I think I like the side. I mean, I was not shy. I mean, I always thought Wallace would be back, and you got Tez Walker, and you're going to get a veteran. I still think they'll probably get a veteran corner to come in, too.
The Ravens had a great post yesterday when they announced this. There's a picture. There are, throughout the complex, the castle, there are murals of great moments in Ravens history. So when they were going to announce that they re-signed him, they stood him in front of the mural that depicts the touchdown in overtime against the Eagles, which is one of the most unforgettable plays in team history.
And one last one here on Maryland. Howard in Baltimore says, heartbreaking losing at the buzzer yet again, but also maybe a learning experience for the team. Some takeaways from the game. Rodney Rice can't go scoreless in the first half and then all of a sudden wake up. They could have won on Saturday had they played in the first half the same way they did in the second half. Still have confidence in them going deep in the tournament. Just hope they don't run into any teams with skilled big men.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is, like, Reese wasn't great. You know, he didn't play.
He was okay.
Yeah. And then I did you think that Queen, it was like, you know, he was going no matter what. He was shooting from, you know, I mean, it was like.
He tried at least three threes that I can remember in that game.
He was like feeling it or, you know.
There was a moment late in the game where it was back and forth, close game, and he called for the ball. Now, that's nothing new. He's done that plenty of times this year, but he ended up kind of forcing a shot.
Yeah.
And I think that was a moment right there where he showed a little bit of his inexperience, his youth. But for the most part, offensively, he was phenomenal. The surprising part was defensively.
They
had no answers for Michigan's big men.
They got out-rebounded by what, like 15?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Yet only lost
By one.
And you get it. I think it was more than 15. I think it got out-rebounded by like 20, something like that. It was really, really one-sided. But yet, you know, basketball's a funny game.
Well, not many, to Howard the Texter's points. I don't think there's many teams out there with two 7-footers like Michigan that are as good offensively as they are.
Right.
I mean, the one was hitting
three. They still, Nolan, I'm telling you, watching Michigan, they love to turn that ball over.
Right.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's like a hot potato, man.
Well, that's how you take a one-point win when you out-rebound somebody by 25 or whatever it is.
Yeah, they have 16 turnovers.
Fall over. All right, coming up, hour number three, news from the Nest. No shortage of that. That's next on the Vinny and Haney Show.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.